Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
Schools across the country will be writing to their students next week telling them when they are going back to the classroom. We know that homeschooling was challenging for all pupils, but for the 17,000 with additional needs, it has been an extremely difficult time, with many losing out on much needed support learning. I'm joined now by Minister Josepha Madigan, Minister of State with Responsibility for Special Education and Inclusion. In a moment, Minister, we'll talk to you about the broader back to school plan, but first to those who come under your brief. There's 17,000 SNA posts in the system, as we were saying, and that includes SNAs in special schools and supports for mainstream schools and so on. Can you talk us through how SNAs are going to do their jobs within the guidelines?
Yes. Well, the SNAs are extremely important for children with special needs. In fact, without access to an SNA, any child with special needs cannot function properly. And schools will be able to recruit a replacement when an SNA is absent. And that's something that I advocated for in this reopening of schools programme, because it is absolutely essential for them. And the department will support the replacement of all absences of SNAs in school settings. And there's a figure of about 14.7 million that is going to support that. That also includes caretakers, cleaners and secretaries, because they also provide really critical support to schools. And especially because there's a big emphasis on cleaning, these can also be replaced when they're absent due to illness. But the SNAs obviously have a concern in relation to PPE. And a lot of the time they would wear PPE anyway in the normal course of events, not just because of COVID, particularly now as well during the July provision. Some of them would have been wearing PPE, and in relation to intimate needs, it's quite necessary that they do. So obviously we want to ensure that they're protected at all times, because they have huge assistance with feeding, with administration of medicine, there's toileting and general hygiene, there's mobility and orientation, and the moving and lifting of children. You know, there could be something like the operation of hoists and equipment, and, you know, severe communication difficulties as well. And it's really almost impossible for social distancing or physical distancing to take place in special schools. I mean, it just won't be practical for children with special needs to maintain that physical distance. So the PPE is crucial there. And, you know, what we're asking parents and guardians of children with special needs children is to have heightened awareness of symptoms of changes in health conditions. So if your child has symptoms, they shouldn't attend school. But special schools will have guidance in relation to this. Okay. And it's really, Philip, quite like the primary schools in terms of, you know, junior infants to second class as it's laid out in the roadmap.
And in the mainstream setting, where there might be absences of SNA support, will it arise? And if it does, will you tolerate a situation where you would have SNAs moving from one pod to another in order to do their jobs? Or should they be dedicated to the one pupil?
Well, first of all, there's always what the SNAs, and certainly in some of the meetings that I've had with them, they have often lamented the fact that principals and other teachers in schools may use SNAs for other duties other than attending to children with special needs. And obviously, I would request that doesn't happen because they should only be concentrated on looking after children with special needs. But, you know, of course, they will all have their own role within the school, and the principals themselves, who are also being given release days, by the way, in order to try and make sure that there's a proper operation of SNAs within their own school, because it's absolutely crucial for these children, because a lot of them would have regressed substantially since schools closed back in March. Now, there was the summer provision, which was there was about 24,000 children who were eligible for that, and about 15,000 took part. And there will be progress reports for those particular children going to the schools to support them. So that will help. But we will need
Which will be very reassuring for them. But can I bring you back to my question, please?
Yes.
Do you foresee a situation where SNAs may end up having to move from one pod to another, from one classroom to another?
That's something that the teachers and the schools themselves are going to look at. It's not something that is ideal. it's not something that I want. And that's what, one of the reasons why we have put in a request for PPE and have received that request. And there is substantial funding in relation to that, just as there is in terms of cleaning, the 3.8 million.
So you're delegating responsibility for that to the headmasters. Are you not providing any guidance to them at all?
No, we do have guidance, and there is very clear guidance set out in the roadmap in relation to the S&A scheme. I mean, there are specific tasks that are set out there. I mentioned some of them to you as well, but also, you know, assisting teachers to provide supervision in the class and playgrounds and school grounds, and there's also non-nursing care needs associated with specific medical conditions, like, for example, frequent epileptic seizures or for pupils who have fragile health. And, you know, care needs requiring frequent interventions, including withdrawal of a pupil from a classroom, were essential. And that there may be sometimes secondary care tasks as well for SNAs. But ultimately, it's something that we want to ensure that the SNAs are protected and all of the staff. And this isn't just for special schools and special classes. It's for mainstream classes as well, because there's over 100,000 staff going back to schools as well, not just children. So obviously the return to work safety protocol and the school COVID-19 response plans have to be looked at. And there is a lead worker representative at school level, which will assist with the risk assessment template, which will deal with all of those issues that you're talking about.
Well, let's delve down into one of those, the substitute teachers issue and establishing a panel of subs. Is there going to be a limit to the number of schools that those teachers can work in? I mean, can you have one sub safely moving around 5-6 different schools?
No, I don't think that that's something that should be done either. But the main thing is that a teacher is replaced immediately in the school. The worst case scenario is that the schools go back and then they have to be closed again, and nobody wants that. So what the COVID-19 response plan does is it supports a sustainable reopening of schools. So there's 100,000 staff, as I mentioned, there's 1 million children. And then for primary schools, there'll be an extra 200 substitute teachers on supply panels. And then for the post-primary
schools... And how are you doing on that panel of 200 and the panel of 1,000 for the post-primary?
Yeah, that's we're getting there in relation to it.
Getting there? What do you mean by getting there?
Well, I'm not the Minister with primary responsibility, as you know, for this, Philip. My remit is for special education, but my understanding is that we will be in a position to... Like, there are teachers that are job sharing. There's about 1,300 of those, and we're hoping that through the Teaching Council, a lot of those teachers as well that are qualified abroad will be able to complete an induction programme this year as well. And there's about 40 million as well going in to cover additional supervision needs. So we are confident that it will happen. And every school will receive an enhanced supervision grant as well. And that ranges from about €21,000 to about €84,000. So the focus for post-primary is on teachers that are registered but that aren't actively working in schools. And there's about 2,000 in that category. And then in primary schools, the main supply challenges, from my understanding, are recruiting substitute teachers for short-term roles. So to address that, the substitute supply panel scheme is being expanded, and there'll be, as I said, 200 additional fixed-term posts to meet substitutes when required.
Can you give us a little bit more detail on the hypothetical? Well, the inevitable, when there is actually a confirmed case in a school, what happens then? Does the whole class isolate? If it's in primary level, does it just the pod isolate? What do you do?
Yeah, well, there is, where there's going to be, if there is a suspected or confirmed case amongst the school staff or the pupils, the schools, first of all, will be required to follow the public health instruction of the HSE public health. And in line with that, they will have to inform any person who comes into close contact with a diagnosed case. They will have to contact all relevant persons where a diagnosis of COVID-19 is made. And they will also have to advise on the appropriate action that should be taken.
Standard contact tracing. But what happens to the class?
To the operation of the school. Well, that they are the guidelines that are provided for in the roadmap if there is a suspected case.
Okay. And I'm not understanding something here, but that's really not very clear to me. Does a class close, or is it just the pod that isolates, or is it just the suspect case that isolates when you have, or sorry, the confirmed case that isolates?
Well, again, as I just mentioned out to you, they have to follow the public health instruction of HSE Public Health, and that is set out within that. It would obviously be up to the school as well in terms of their own COVID-19 response plan. So, I mean, the response plan, as I said, supports the sustainable reopening of schools, but the overriding objective there is to protect the health of staff and students. So if there is an issue, and if there is a child or a student, or indeed a teacher who is positive with COVID-19, then they will have to follow their own COVID response plan.
Hang on a second. I'm sorry, Minister, I'm really not understanding this. Within the COVID response plan, what happens? Just tell me, you know, in really simple terms, does the pod isolate? Is it just the confirmed case that isolates, or does the whole class go home?
But I've just set out to you there in the normal course of events, which is in line with the HSE Public Health. So inform any person who comes into close contact with the diagnosed case.
Standard contact tracing,
all the relevant
yes.
persons. Yeah, so it's the standard where there's a diagnosis, and advising the appropriate action that should be taken vis-a-vis the operation of the school. So it'll depend on those circumstances, but the standard protocol will be followed. And you have to remember as well, each school setting is different in terms of location, in terms of the physical layout, in terms of the available space within the school.
It is, but would it not be better to give headmasters and principals a much clearer direction now? Rather than saying, go follow the HSE standard protocols, you communicate them... This is what is going to have to happen. Very yeah. simply, as soon as you get a positive test, not only do you inform everybody, but the class goes home, the pod goes yeah. home.
But that's why there is a COVID response plan that each school has particular to them, and that's designed to support the staff and the board of management. And that has put in measures in place that prevent the spread okay. of COVID-19 in the school. So that details the policies and the practices necessary, first of all, for the school to reopen, and second of all, if there is a case of COVID-19 in the school environment. I mean, the one thing we've been saying consistently is obviously in relation to travel, that people don't travel, because we want to ensure that the schools reopen. And it's something that I think many parents and many children throughout the country want, and we all want the schools to get back up and running. So we have to, you know, take those into okay. account.
More generally and beyond your brief, Minister, it would appear from what Leo Varadkar said on the way into the Cabinet meeting that, well, at least his mind is made up about the pubs reopening on August the 10th and they shouldn't. Is that your understanding of what's going to happen?
Well, I heard the Taoiseach being interviewed and I heard what he said. He said it's an unfortunate truth that the pandemic is still raging across the world and that there's been an increase in cases in Europe, including in Ireland. I mean, from yesterday, I think there was about 182 cases since Friday. So nothing, we don't want to do anything to jeopardise the opening of the schools. And he said a cautious approach would have to be taken in relation to the opening of the school of pubs. And then I also heard the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, saying that they would have to be very firm in relation to it. And from, I suppose, having been a cabinet, I appreciate the language that is used and reading between the lines, it wouldn't bode well for the pubs reopening. And I think, obviously, it's up to the Cabinet, who are presently sitting at the moment, to decide that as to what happens.
You've heard what the publicans have had to say about the expense that they have gone to kit out their premises and the cost of holding on for another indefinite period of time before a decision is made. Do you think anything should be done to assist them?
I think everything has been done that can be done. I mean, they weren't permitted to open on the 20th of July, which they would have wanted. And, you know, the restaurants were opened only based on public health advice and the fact that they represented a controlled environment. I mean, and we all know the difference between our behaviour and expectations when we go to a restaurant as opposed to a pub. But nevertheless, we have to support the sector and, you know, acknowledge the very strong food business as well for many publicans as part of the business model. So, you know, it's very difficult for them, and I can appreciate how difficult it is, but there are a number of business supports that are available to them to avail of at the moment. And hopefully, hopefully the cases won't increase and we'll be in a position to reopen them if it is the case that Cabinet doesn't give the green light today.
Minister Josepha Madigan, Minister of State with Responsibility for Special Education and Inclusion. Thank you very much.